care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bienvenue, good morning, welcome everyone. I'm delighted to welcome you all here to the McGill campus and to this great venue. I'm actually quite new at McGill, so I appreciate the opportunity to explore and enjoy new buildings on campus, some of which have appeared since I was a student here just a few years ago. I'm also pleased to see that you're all here to join us for this important celebration. My name is Rosie Goldstein. I'm the Vice Principal for Research and International Relations here at McGill, and I'll be your MC and host for today. It's in celebration of both of these pillars, research and international outreach, that we are here to support excellence in research and, as I said, outreach and partnership with our international partners. So allow me just a few minutes to tell you some of the important aspects of this partnership that we're celebrating and announcing today. At McGill, we value harnessing our excellence in basic research to provide real-life solutions to real-life problems, to society's greatest and most complex issues. We're committed to fulfilling our responsibility. We take seriously that responsibility to bring our talents to the most important of the world's challenges. And those challenges are local, national, and global. We also know that these challenges are not conquered alone, and that's why we're building partnerships, like the important partnership we're announcing today. This partnership is a special one between McGill University, University of Botswana, and University of Cape Town, industry partners, as well as funders, not-for-profit, private, and government, many of whom are on the podium with me today. The research bridges between technology-driven drug discovery and the exploration of unique African biodiversity. The chemistry and richness of traditional medicines in Africa, used by at least 80% of the population on that continent, has not yet been successfully translated into either effective management of those diseases in Africa, nor into modern drug discovery that could have a global benefit. We'll hear today about how this partnership will enable the interdisciplinary and innovative approach to bring locally relevant solutions to the problem of nematode infestations, a debilitating and serious health problem throughout Africa. At the same time, the work will enable training and empowerment of African scientists. The partnership will build local expertise in natural products, its chemistry, pharmacology, and molecular biology. The overarching goal is to provide a sustainable capacity for African natural product-based drug discovery. So I'll just say I'm very proud to be here today to share in this special celebration of partnership with you. As MC, I'm going to introduce you to our podium party individually in a little more detail as they each address us, beginning with Dr. Pierre Chartrand of CIHR, Dr. Peter Singer of Grand Challenges Canada, Dr. Stephen Buxbaum of the Global Health Discovery Program at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We'll conclude with our research team, Professors Timothy Geary and Eliane Ubalijoro, who will give us a presentation of their program. So Pierre, Dr. Chartrand, if you would join me. Just a few words about Dr. Chartrand. He joined CIHR in September 2006. He currently serves as the Vice President of Research. Prior to his appointment at CIHR, Dr. Chartrand was the CEO of the Institute for Research in Immunology and Cancer and a full professor in the Department of Pathology and Cellular Biology in the Faculty of Medicine at the Université de Montréal. Among his many accomplishments, which I won't list today, Dr. Chartrand has also been a member of the board of the Fonds de la Recherche en Santé du Québec, or FRSQ. He holds a PhD in microbiology and immunology from the Université de Montréal and did postdoc training at the Institute of Virology of the MRC of Great Britain. Join me in welcoming Dr. Chartrand.
Bonjour à tous et merci d'être venu. It is my great pleasure to be here today representing the Canadian Institute of Health Research. Actually, four of our 13 scientific directors of our research institutes are located here at McGill, which certainly indicates that this university, as CIHR, stands for excellence in research. I would also like to recognize the representatives of the Grand Challenge Canada, Peter Singer, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Steve Buxbaum, who represents the best of the not-for-profit research organizations. Since 2008, our two organizations have collaborated on a number of health research initiatives that seek to address grave health issues internationally, while building partnerships between Canadian researchers and their international counterparts. It is through collaborations with organizations like Grand Challenge Canada and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that we are able to support the type of groundbreaking research that we are here today to announce. CIHR is very proud to support Dr. Tim Gehry and Dr. Iliane Ubali-Jourot. They are researchers who understand that health science is more effective when those who will benefit from the research results are involved from the very start in the development process through inclusion and participation. It is a commonly held belief that we need a global perspective to address the health concerns and challenges of the 21st century. But we have to do more than just share information across international political lines. We have to invest in the development of local response and research capacity. La maladie ne connaît pas de frontières, mais heureusement pour nous, la recherche non plus. As such, CIHR is pleased to be here today and will continue to work towards supporting more research initiatives and projects like this one. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Chartrand. Our next guest is Dr. Peter A. Singer. Dr. Singer is the CEO of Grand Challenges Canada. He is professor of medicine and Sun Life Financial Chair in Bioethics and director of the McLaughlin-Rotman Centre for Global Health, the University Health Network, and University of Toronto. Professor Singer's research is on life sciences and the developing world, how technologies make the transition from lab to village. In 2007, he received the Michael Smith Prize as Canada's Health Researcher of the Year in Population Health and Health Services. He is the Foreign Secretary of the Canadian Academy of Health Sciences and a Fellow of the Royal Society of Canada and the U.S. Institute of Medicine of the National Academies, as well as a Fellow of the Academy of Sciences for the Developing World. Professor Singer is also a member of the Scientific Advisory Board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Grand Challenges for Global Health Initiative. He has advised the UN Secretary General's Office, the Government of Canada, several African governments, and PepsiCo Inc. on issues related to global health. He studied internal medicine at the University of Toronto, medical ethics at University of Chicago, public health at Yale, and management at Harvard Business School. And there's more. I made it shorter. Please welcome Dr. Singer.
Merci bien et je suis très heureux d'être ici. Je vous remercie d'être ici aussi. I'd like to thank Rose very much and McGill and your wonderful team for hosting us here. It's much appreciated. And it's a great pleasure for me to be here with my friends Pierre Chartrand and Steve Buxbaum addressing you today. I want to start by celebrating the award of this grant to Tim Gehry and Eliane Ubali-Jourot. There's a few things I really love about this particular grant, and let me just tell you what some of those are. Firstly, the grant is on neglected tropical diseases. These are the true diseases of the poor. These are the couple of dozen or so diseases that most people have never even heard of. Schistosomiasis, filariasis, onchocerciasis. They're diseases that most people have never even heard of, but they affect a billion people in the world. And even though some of them kill, most of them debilitate and maim. And they're really chronic diseases of the poor, and they're really the diseases that lock people into poverty. And so it's a very important set of diseases, and very pleased that you're addressing them. You're also addressing them using innovation. And innovation does save lives, as I think your research will demonstrate. You are working not only on scientific and technological innovation, but you're interested in lead drug compounds, therefore you're interested in the business innovation, you're interested in social innovation, and bringing these things together is necessary to bring technologies to scale. So congratulations to both of you, and we couldn't be more thrilled to be here. We're also thrilled for a second reason, which is this is the first grant to be awarded by Grand Challenges Canada, Grand Défi Canada. Grand Challenges Canada is less than a year old. It is funded by Canada's foreign aid budget. It works closely with the International Development Research Center, and its mission is to invest in global health innovation, very much like the innovation represented by the research we'll be hearing from today. The other thing that is, I think, terrific about today is that Canada is really showing a whole-of-Canada approach. You've got excellent scientists rising to these terrible health challenges with innovation, and you also have Canadian funding organizations cooperating closely together. Grand Challenges Canada, working with Canada's International Development Research Center and with the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, really here is pursuing a whole-of-Canada approach in global health innovation, enabling some of our best scientists to tackle some of these most horrific problems. And, of course, it's also fantastic for all of us to be working in partnership with our friends and colleagues at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And for that reason, I want to really welcome you, Steve, to Canada, to Montreal. Thank you for partnering with these Canadian organizations and for working with us to support this research. So this is our first grant. For us, this is like Canada Day, fireworks, think birthdays, and we're just delighted to be here in Montreal and to be awarding this first grant, Tim, to you and to Elian with our partners CIHR, IDRC, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, Steve, thank you. And Rose, I think you're going to introduce Steve. Thank you very much for hosting us. Thank you all.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you for the confidence and entrusting McGill and our researchers with your very first Grand Challenges Canada grant. We're really honored that you chose us for this this investment. It's my great pleasure, as Peter alluded to introduce Dr. Stephen Buxbaum of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Dr. Buxbaum received a PhD in physics from the University of California, San Diego, and a Master of Pacific International Affairs from the Graduate School of International Relations and Pacific Studies. Dr. Buxbaum has held positions at the Marine Physical Laboratory of the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, the Institute for Nonlinear Science at University of California, San Diego, and University of California, Santa Cruz, the Center for Material Science at Los Alamos National Laboratory, the Science Applications International Corporation, Bermuda Associates, and Draper Laboratory. I think we can summarize by saying you're used to warmer climates. He has served in the U.S. State Department and as the Science and Technology Officer for South Asia, as a Program Manager in the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. He was selected and served as a Science and Diplomacy Fellow at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He was also selected as an American Physical Society Congressional Fellow and has been registered into the U.S. Foreign Service. Dr. Buxbaum is currently the Deputy Director of the Global Health Discovery Program at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Welcome, Stephen.
So thank you very much. It's a pleasure here. Thank you in particular, Rose, and your colleagues at McGill for hosting us. It's a real privilege to be able to represent the Gates Foundation in celebrating this new award. And I guess I'd like to just pick up on two themes that both Pierre and Peter have discussed, the first around partnership and the second around scientific excellence. And so, you know, we're very, very excited in this specific project and all that it represents in the uniquely excellent science, the bringing of different disciplines together, and in particular the types of partnerships that it will strive to create. It's an important area of work that we hope will yield significant impact. For us, it's part of a larger initiative, the Grand Challenge Explorations and Grand Challenge Initiative. I'd just like to give you a little sense of actually of that that work. It's something that we strive to work with a variety of partners in, and are very excited about that. To date, we have looked at over 20,000 applications, and the Phase 1 award that Tim and his partners received was one of 432 out of 20,000. The Phase 2 award that we're here to celebrate today represents about a 1 in 10 award rate out of those 432. So it gives you some sense of actually the global draw that this initiative is working on and the incredible excellence that this project represents. And so we're very, very excited about that. But equally important is the excitement around the partnership that it represents for us at the Gates Foundation with our Canadian colleagues. And we've enjoyed a really, truly outstanding partnership with the Canadian Institute of Health Research and the Grand Challenge Initiative since 2005, where we have co-funded a number of grants. But today is really about Grand Challenges Canada. This is their first grant, and it's really a unique new type of partnership for us. We have enjoyed the privilege of working with Canada and funding Canadian scientists. And with Grand Challenges Canada, we have really a new model where there's an opportunity to partner working to fund developing country scientists as well as Canadian scientists. We ultimately hope that this unique leadership role that the Canadians are taking in this type of funding is something that other countries will seek to emulate. And with that, I guess I thank you all and look forward to hearing Tim and Eliane's talk.
Thank you, Dr. Buxbaum. And now I'd like to introduce you to the reason we're all here, to learn of the project that has brought these many partners together. The Gates Grand Challenges grant entitled Drugs That Target Multiple Receptors for Anti-Helminths, led by Professor Timothy Geary and his colleague Eliane Ubalijoro. I'm just going to introduce you very briefly and then ask you to come up to the podium. Professor Timothy Geary is a Tier 1 CRC Chair in Parasite Biotechnology and Director of the Institute of Parasitology. Prior to joining McGill, he spent 20 years in the pharmaceutical industry, leading groups in antiparasitic drug discovery and development. His research is focused on the pharmacology of antiparasitic drugs. His group also studies the basic biology of the host-parasite interface through proteomic, genomic, and transcriptomic research. As part of the work to solve the problem of these parasitic infections, Dr. Geary consults with several pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies and works closely with the tropical disease research arm of the WHO. He's on editorial boards of leading journals in parasitology and neglected tropical diseases. Dr. Eliane Ubalijoro is an adjunct professor of practice for public and private sector partnerships at McGill Institute for the Study of International Development, where her research interests focus on innovation in global health and sustainable development. She's been involved with Professor Geary in the establishment of a Pan-African Natural Products Library, which I think we may hear about. Dr. Ubalijoro is a member of FEMSTEP, a research network highlighting rural girls and women's perspectives for engendering poverty reduction strategies in a series of African countries. She's the founder and executive director of CLEAR, International Development Inc., which harnesses global networks for sustainable systems development. Finally, but not least, she's a member of the Presidential Advisory Council for Rwandan President Paul Kagame. The new work we'll hear about today, and we've already heard about it a bit, builds on earlier funding, Phase 1, from the Grand Challenges Exploration Initiative of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We've already heard how competitive that was. This grant provided proof of concept for the idea that modern strategies for drug discovery could be implemented in the very regions themselves which suffer most from these parasites. I wanted to highlight one of the key words, I think, in this project, which is local. Developing local chemical resources for the discovery of locally important drugs, keeping the intellectual property rights under local control. But beyond local, the new knowledge and discoveries has potential for solutions that are applicable all over the world. Building on this previous investment, as we've already heard, this is the first strategic funding partnership involving Grand Challenges Canada, CHR, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I really think we have heard today how this helps position McGill to lead globally in this public health area and in the fight against neglected tropical diseases. We're very grateful to all of our partners and can't thank you enough for this funding. Please join me in welcoming Professors Geary and Ubalijoro to the podium.
Thanks very much, Rose. It's a real honor. It's a privilege to be here, especially with so many friends and colleagues in the audience. I tell people I'm the luckiest person in the world, and that status continues today. But I'm going to tell you more about the project itself and why we think it's important and why we're so grateful for the funding. The project is really entitled Drugs That Target Multiple Receptors for Anti-Helminthic Drugs, drugs that kill worms. And we picked the targets that we're going to talk about because we felt that drugs which act through them would be unlikely to generate resistance. This is a common plague of any kind of chemotherapy, and the purpose of this call from the Phase 1 Grand Challenges Exploration program was to find drugs that would avoid that fate. But it's developed a lot further than that. Just for the benefit of the three people in the audience who aren't parasitologists, what we're talking about are parasites, and most people in the West and in the North think that these are no longer problems unless you have bed bugs or unless you have a dog with fleas. So we're familiar with some parasites, but in fact, an animal that has to spend all or part of its life cycle on another in another animal is a parasite, and they are the commonest kinds of animals in the world. More animals can be called parasite than any other designation, so that the basic strategy for living is to be a parasite, and those of you with children know what I mean. We have got these in sort of an out-of-sight, out-of-mind perspective at the moment. Unless you work with agriculture, production of animals, or companion animals, where parasitism remains a major occupation for veterinarians. But for humans, this is now largely limited to geographical areas that are what we might call resource poor or of limited development. And this is true because of the specificity of host-parasite relationships. Even though you and I are exposed to parasites from our environment very commonly, they don't infect us. They don't succeed in us. Those that triumph in humans tend to be segregated now in the tropical or semi-tropical areas. But they are also diseases of poverty. Here in the North and the West, we've largely eliminated many of these as daily concerns because we've invested tax dollars in the infrastructure that provides sanitation. And in economies that don't have tax income, it's almost impossible to establish the infrastructure needed to accomplish sanitation. So we can't just drop in sanitation systems into poor areas. They have to be developed on the basis of local economies. What's really important is that we get seduced in a way by those tropical diseases or serious infections that scare the hell out of us, like HIV or multidrug-resistant tuberculosis or malaria, which are highly lethal infections. But in fact, parasitism has an enormous burden in morbidity, so it prevents full development of people and their full productivity. And this contributes almost inevitably to the cycle of poverty. In the past, we've looked to the West and the North for charitable interventions that would break that cycle, but the purpose of this grant in its own small way is to begin a process that puts the solutions to those problems in the hands of people who have to live with them. The problems that we have with regard to vaccines, that most of the world's population, including many people in North America who are infected with toxoplasma gondii, as Professor Jerzynski would be happy to point out, where most of us parasitized, and outside of the North, most of these diseases are major causes of mortality and morbidity. We don't have vaccines really for any parasitic infection. And there are relatively few drugs available for humans considering the burden of the problem. Since the major means of control of these infections is through chemotherapy, resistance to existing drugs is a major concern, especially in areas where we rely on one or a few to carry out the tasks of control. Our understanding, our ability to intervene in these infections is seriously limited by our poor knowledge of the basic biology of parasites and of the host-parasite relationship. We have not invested our public funding in studying how these things succeed in their hosts, and that information would reveal new ways to control them. The UN Objectives of the Millennium recognizes that parasitic diseases are a major obstacle to economic growth in developing countries. The diseases that we address are called neglected tropical diseases because since they don't have a major impact on mortality, they tend to be obscured by perhaps more immediate needs. Nonetheless, by contributing to poverty, they continue to hamper the development in poor areas. As mentioned, I think, by Peter, at least 1 billion people are affected by one of these. I think the number is probably higher, and many people have more than one. We call them neglected because they persist almost exclusively in the most marginalized communities, and they're out of our sight, they're out of our mind. The WHO lists 14 diseases as neglected tropical diseases, and most of them could be prevented or eliminated, but they thrive in areas that suffer from inadequate infrastructure in terms of clean water, sanitation, and health care. They are lifelong causes of disabilities. They are not very visible because they don't kill people and they don't scare us as much as something like malaria, but we still have to address them. Here's just an example. What we work on are helminths, nematodes, worms. So they're the oldest known infectious agents of humans because they're macroscopic and you can see them, which is interesting, but most people find slightly disconcerting. These include nematodes that are transmitted from the soil. They include a set of infections called the lymphatic filariasis, which cause elephantiasis, onchocerciasis, which causes river blindness, one that's nearly eradicated, dracunculiasis, and then schistosomiasis, which is a trematode. It's in a different phylogenetic lineage than the nematodes. You can see the numbers of infections estimated. But the top one there, Aerobius vermicularis, is commonly known as the pinworm, and about 300,000 or 400,000 cases a year are treated in North America. So this is one that we haven't got rid of, and if you have children in daycare, you never know. You might need some treatment. The burden of these infections, however, is staggering, but it is a problem of poor countries. I tried to keep the bad pictures out because most people don't have, well, these are parasitologists, what the heck. So these are major problems in veterinary medicine and in human health, and we need better drugs to treat them, particularly in humans, because of concerns of drug resistance and because the drugs that we have available to deploy, none of them is optimal for what we want them to do. So we would like to have better drugs. How are we going to find them is the question. And this is the crux of the grant. Historically, in chemotherapy, drugs that have come from natural sources, either plants or microbes, have been very important for chemotherapy, okay? And in this situation, parasites, not plants, that was a mistake, but cancer, infectious diseases, bacterial, fungal infections, the primary bulwarks against these diseases are compounds that are natural in origin. So the chemists that nature has evolved seem to work better than the chemists that have two legs as nature evolved them. Unfortunately, because these are not the simplest things to work with, the pharmaceutical industry in the West has de-emphasized them in favor of synthetic compounds. That means that the diseases that traditionally have benefited from them don't see them anymore as sources of leads. We realize that the African continent is home to a vast biodiversity, and it also has home to many natural products chemists. This is the strength of the African scientific enterprise. Historically, there has been a tendency for this chemistry to be removed from the continent so that the sources are taken away and brought back to the West for study. This has been termed biopiracy and has been a very contentious issue for a long, long time, which has limited the scientific ability to investigate those resources. Our concept with Elian and our team is, can we reverse the flow and bring the technology for drug discovery to Africa so that the chemistry resource stays where it is? And we can rightly now term this bioprospecting. So we will use that resource locally to find the compounds that can be developed into drugs for these diseases. How are we going to do this? Well, during my sentence in the pharmaceutical industry, the team that I worked with is able to develop a very convenient technology that uses recombinant microbes, that uses bioengineering, to create little strains of yeast that express parasite proteins. We think those parasite proteins are very important in their function for the parasite, and we make the yeast survival also dependent on the function of the parasite protein. So it becomes a very simple matter to look for chemicals that affect those proteins by simply finding whether they affect the growth of the microbe. This is a very simple system to use. You don't need any kind of expensive equipment. You don't need even incubators, as long as it's warm enough for the yeast to grow. It can be done on a benchtop. You see in the bottom there, just a 96-well plate, where the different colors in the wells tell you whether or not you have found a molecule that's of interest for you. So this technology is well-suited for resource-limited settings and can be used to screen through collections of natural products for new leads as potential drugs. What we conceived of is a locally run and managed drug screening and development process that would utilize local chemical resources. And we developed through this concept of an pan-African natural products library. We would construct a collection, a physical collection of these chemicals that would be available for discovery for this indication and for others. The key people are listed in that top section. Sami Khalid is a Sudanese chemist who I have known since 1982. And Sami and I began looking in Sudanese natural product collections for antimalarial drugs. And once we reconnected, it was Sami's energy that said, we need to reawaken this idea and start it all over again. Berhanu Abagaz, who you'll be hearing from Elian, is another guy that I've known since about 1983. He is an Ethiopian chemist who was instrumental in providing the material to build the library. Kelly Chabali is probably the best synthetic chemist on the African continent, and he became involved also through interactions with WHO. But the key person was Elian Ubalajoro, who I met here at McDonald campus, and who was able to see this is what we're going to do. She was kind of a kick in the butt to an old guy. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And it was her enthusiastic encouragement that led to the phase one application, and I'm very grateful for that. We made a team, and coming from the pharmaceutical background, we see how important this is to bring together people with different expertise and different skill levels, working as partners. And it's a fairly unusual situation in the academic world, but it's essential for success. And now in this team, we also have Kirsten Marobela in Botswana, who's doing this stuff. And there are three people. My lab is here, and I don't mean to slight anything because I love them all. They're my children. Very nice. But Vicky Muse, who is here, is kind of the technical person in charge of developing these screens and then doing the technology transfer. Dr. Walter Tita, who is a postdoc in the laboratory, is responsible for running the screens, and we'll hope to make him our ambassador in Africa to bring this technology back to the continent. And then lastly, Elizabeth Ruiz-Lancheros is the person who's developing new technology to allow us to expand the screening capacity in her role as a graduate student. But the important thing is it's a team of people that work together as equals, and that's the essential part of progress in any kind of interdisciplinary work. How are we going to know if we win? Well, we actually sort of have an obligation to find new drugs. Having spent 20 years of my life doing this, I know it's very hard. It sounds really easy, but it's really very, very difficult. Nonetheless, I think we have the template, the chemistry to look at. We have the screens to do it. We have the team in place to discover new leads as antiparasitic drugs. That's our first goal. As we progress down that path, we intend to build capacity and train people who will be directed and rewarded locally for their participation. It needs to be sustainable. This is one of the major, I think, implications of what we do. The idea of transferring technology as a charitable exercise is not sustainable. What we have to do is create systems that provide their own economic reward. And this is how we build local capacity. This is how we change the culture, as Dr. Singer has pointed out, that lacks the ability to move discoveries to application. This is a strength that we can do, but we need the people there to lead the process. And local leadership is essential. That's just has to happen. I have to become obsolete, which, being a relatively lazy person, that's all right. And it has to be adapted to local conditions. And another very key aspect is that intellectual property that derives from this work will be retained locally, so its benefits will be felt locally, not in the West. Sorry to McGill for that. But okay. Better drugs are part of the answer for improved parasite control. We need to build that effort in places where these parasites exist. We are convinced that any long-term solution requires ownership by the people who are most affected by the problem. In that context, we are just unbelievably, extraordinarily grateful for the confidence shown in us by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, by Grand Challenges Canada, and by CIHR for supporting this initiative. It's a remarkable honor and a humbling honor to realize how this has winnowed down to poor little Eliane and myself. I also want to point out a few other people to thank. I'm a Canada research chair. I'm so grateful to the government of Canada for establishing this program because I never could have come without the support of that program. It would have been impossible for me to transition from the pharmaceutical to the academic world. My research in the laboratory is supported primarily by NSERC at this point. I would really like to point out how grateful we are for the provincial government's support of the Center for Host-Parasite Interactions that unites parasitology scientists from across the province. It's a very rich resource. I'm very glad that the co-directors of it, Professor Armando Jardim and Professor Albert Decoteau, are both here, because without that support, it would be very hard to build the momentum to do this kind of work. And I think it's fantastic that the province has seen fit to support that as an essential element of Quebec research. And I'm very grateful to the Institute of Parasitology, because the university has seen fit to maintain this edifice for more than 75 years. It's the only place like it in North America. It's an incredible treasure. It's an incredible attraction for people to come here, and we're very grateful that the university and the federal government continue to see value in the basic study of parasites. And I thank you for coming, and I thank you for your attendance, and I want to present Eliane, ma chère Eliane. Merci beaucoup.
Je me joins à Tim Geary pour vous remercier tous d'être là aujourd'hui et remercier les institutions qui nous ont soutenus et qui vont nous permettre d'avancer notre recherche. Je voudrais commencer par lire des mots qui ont été donnés par les partenaires africains. Alors. The first message I'm going to read is from Professor Burhanu Abagaz. So Burhanu says, I am extremely delighted to participate in the Grand Challenges Explorations Phase 2 project entitled Drugs That Target Multiple Receptors for Anthelmintics. As the director of the Pan-African Natural Products Library, I am excited to take part in this multidisciplinary project. We believe that the grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Grand Challenges Canada, and the Canadian Institutes of Health Research Project will allow us to screen our collections using the aforementioned platform, Pineapple, increase our collections by intensifying our phytochemical isolation and structural elucidation activities, and promote the Pineapple concept among our consortium members and expanding the membership, and enhance our scientific capacity through relevant training and skill transfers among our partners. This is now a message from Kirsten Maravola, and this is a picture of her surrounded by traditional healers in Botswana. So Kirsten says, Dumelang, greetings from Botswana. I'm very grateful to the funders, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Grand Challenges Canada, and the Canadian Institutes for Health Research to provide us with the funds for an extremely exciting project in antiparasitic drug discovery from natural products. This project is important to us in two ways. Firstly, screening compounds for antiparasitic activities will make young scientists in Botswana appreciate the wealth and value of natural products. And secondly, it will hopefully show that drug discovery at the front line of modern health research is possible in Africa. Furthermore, as the Center for Scientific Research, Indigenous Knowledge and Innovation, CISRIKI, we bring another element to this project, a wealth of traditional medical knowledge based on botanicals. numerous close collaborations with traditional healers and communities, which we have built over the last years and which is illustrated in the picture, will contribute to adding valuable compounds to pineapple and will demonstrate how traditional knowledge can be combined with science for addressing major health challenges in the 21st century. Thank you. Now, I would like to also present a short video clip from our colleague Kelly Chabali from University of Cape Town.
Infectious diseases, including parasitism, are major causes of death in the developing world. These diseases that include malaria, tuberculosis, HIV/AIDS, and less known but also devastating parasitism, mainly affect sub-Saharan African people who remain among the poorest in the world, even though the continent has abundant human resources and is rich in natural resources. It is vital for African scientists to enhance the drug discovery capability of the continent to address its health needs. Researchers in Africa, in addition to having limited financial resources to tackle the disease burden, have also been challenged by a limited skilled manpower base, as well as poor access to technology platforms to conduct drug discovery research. In order for diseases that primarily affect the African population to receive worldwide scientific attention, African researchers must take a more active role in modern drug discovery approaches. It is essential that a scientifically integrated approach to drug discovery, incorporating all the components of drug discovery sciences, be urgently established in Africa. The Gates Grant Challenges Grant, with support from Grant Challenges Canada and Canadian Institutes of Health Research, will contribute immensely to the establishment of modern technology platforms, such as high-throughput recombinant microbe screening that will be transferred from McGill University in Canada to the University of Cape Town in South Africa. This technology will enable the discovery of potential drugs targeting a variety of helminth parasitic infections. Additionally, the above grants will go a long way in contributing to the training and education of a new generation of African scientists in modern drug discovery sciences. This will ensure the transfer of technology and skills to promote the development of a South African and African expertise in drug discovery and development. Finally, the international visibility of a strong African-based drug discovery team under my leadership with critical mass will ensure access to major advances in this field. This is critically important for the development and survival of our continent. Infectious diseases, including parasitism, are major causes of death in the developing world. These diseases that include malaria.
Je voudrais me joindre à mes collègues et avec Timothy Gurries pour remercier les instituts de recherche en santé du Canada, la Fondation Bill et Melinda Gates, ainsi que Grand Défi Canada pour cette opportunité d'avancer la recherche en découverte de médicaments antiparasitaires. Nous sommes très heureux d'être la première équipe qui bénéficie de cette alliance qui représente la première subvention donnée par Grand Défi Canada. Nous souhaitons une formidable continuité à ce partenariat pour l'innovation et l'amélioration de la santé dans les pays en voie de développement. Nous espérons que le travail qui va en découler aidera à résoudre certains des problèmes de santé les plus persistants dans le monde en développement, pour le bénéfice de la santé et la prospérité des populations locales, leur productivité économique, sociale et intellectuelle. Nous voyons cette opportunité comme une plateforme pour soutenir la croissance des réseaux d'innovation entre le Canada et l'Afrique. Nous sommes fiers de ce projet mené par McGill en partenariat avec des chercheurs au Botswana en Afrique du Sud et nous sommes fiers que cette annonce se fasse aujourd'hui au Québec. Nous remercions Mme Rose Goldstein, vice-principale recherche et relations internationales et son équipe de nous avoir conviés à cet événement aujourd'hui. Et merci à vous tous d'être venus. Merci. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tim and Eliane. And before I wrap up, I was told that you were willing to take, our researchers are willing to take some questions. I don't know if there are, if you want to come back up. If there are questions or comments, we'd welcome them. You have a microphone if someone wants it. While you're thinking about that, I do want to congratulate you once more on receiving this prestigious grant, this very first one from Grand Challenges Canada, on the incredible partnerships it's clear that you have forged. Thank you for the description of the research, which is obviously fantastic, and also the messages. Eliane, thank you very much for the messages from your African colleagues. I think that that was very powerful and insightful to show us those. And really, we got a feeling for the partnerships you have in Africa that are so important. Any questions or comments? Perhaps we said it all. We'll be the investigators will be available to mingle afterwards as well. But I do want to end with congratulations on your work. I think you deserve a big round of applause, a special one. And I ask for the applause to congratulate you, but also to so that you'll remember this event as you're working on the project. I know that there's going to be lots of hard work ahead. There already is hard work done and lots of hard work ahead. And I certainly personally, and I think the others, look forward to future announcements where we can describe your success and your results. And I know that they're going to come. So thank you again. This ends the formal program. If there are media, I think there were or there might be, in the audience, or maybe Doug, if there is anyone, you can meet Doug's suite in the back. But beyond that, we invite you for refreshments, to linger a little while with our researchers and our funders and speakers who are available to chat with you. Thank you, and thank you for coming.
All right.